Well, I bet you somebody can tell us about the first leaves on the trees around this time of year. Larry Weber, an educator and author and naturalist, joining us every Friday for Backyard Almanac. Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, Chris. It's a bit chilly. It's been every morning lately. We have had temperatures in the upper 20 or low 30. It is hard to believe that since we last spoke, we also had a day of near 90. That was last Saturday, May 1, where at my house it had 87 degrees. The Weather Service recorded a high of 83. It seems like every May there are some really hot days. They don't continue. They usually are just a single one, but it seems it happens every year in May. We had a May a couple years ago, 2018, where the highest temperature for the entire summer, happened in May. So it can happen. But that's not what we've been having lately. That one day, though, last Saturday, really brought out what you just said about the leaves in the trees. Oh, they just exploded starting on that day. The most notable is the quaking aspen. We've got quaking aspens growing all over the place around here. And so when they start turning green, it's pretty obvious. Before that, there were shrubs and bushes and small trees that were starting to open their leaves. But when quaking aspen started opening them, we all took note. There's other news going on in the trees as well. Another very common tree we have in our area, two other common ones, also showed things this week. One of them was the sugar maple. Sugar maples are well known in spring for being tapped for the sap. But what we usually don't do is hang around to watch the rest of the show. And that is after the sap has made its move, the trees have their flowers. Now, in the world of maples, trees take on, the flowers take on quite a variety, and those of the sugar maple do not look like flowering things at all. There's no blossom, there's no petals, there are just these droopy growths that hang on from the branches. It will be either male or female, and wow, did they make an appearance this week. A week ago, I had not seen any, and now it seems like every sugar maple is just loaded with them. Same thing is true with the white birch. White birches have stuck around all winter with a growth of catkins on the tip of their branches, but they just stayed that way until this past week when suddenly those catkins emerged, growing pollen and reaching maturity. And now the white birches are just loaded with those. So the trees have really stole the show this past week. Now, we got an incredible timing that goes on in May using both of them, two different timings, both of which involve the trees. Number one is this. When the leaves come out on the trees, that tends to shade the forest below it. And in the forest below, on the forest floor, we get an abundance of spring wildflowers. Spring wildflowers are one of these things in nature that, oh, we can go back every day and see and always find something new. They are spectacular. And there are things in nature that we don't mind seeing more than one time, and this is an example. I had several walks this week where I went out looking for spring wildflowers, and I found about 20 kinds in bloom. Anybody wants to see spring wildflowers in good numbers, get out and take a walk, especially in a deciduous forest. There's a number of places that you can go out and see them. I was looking at them at Jay Cook State Park, but there are many other places you can go to see spring wildflowers. Well, anyway, those spring wildflowers are opportunists. They have to take advantage of that sunlight that penetrates through the forest floor, through the trees, all the way to the forest floor, so that they can quickly grow and blossom. When the leaves start coming out on the trees above, that shades them. And just that fast, their season of flowering is over. That's why a lot of them are referred to as ephemerals. The term ephemeral just means that it has a short life. Not all of them are true ephemerals. And then there is a whole group of them that are more shade tolerant, and they will come into bloom a little bit later. But right now, the timing is amazing. It has to happen. The wildflowers have got to come into bloom, and reach maturity and get, attract the attention of insects and get pollinated and so forth, all before they get shaded. And shaded usually happens later in the month, toward the end of the month. Now, the timing seems to be a little bit off this year because the leaves are getting their, trees are getting their leaves a little bit earlier than normal. The other timing that goes along with this is the arrival of birds from the south. And for the most part, it's warblers. Now, we have a few kinds of warblers that are here now. I saw two kinds of warblers in the last couple of days. Yellow rump warblers have been around for a couple of weeks, and they always show up as being number one. And then a couple of days ago, I saw a palm warbler. Now, palm warbler, like the yellow rump warblers, do not winter way into Central America and further south. No, they winter in the southern states. Therefore, they don't have a very long distance to come back, and therefore, they will notice the spring happening perhaps at a little earlier pace. Those that winter in what's called the neotropical, way down in Central America, they don't know that. They don't know the change, whether spring is going to be early or late. They have a timing based on the number of hours of daylight where they come back and feed on the food available. The food that's available is the caterpillars. They're small caterpillars that come out on these new leaves on trees, and the warblers arrive to feed on those. If the timing is off, if the leaves are early, by the time the warblers arrive, the caterpillars may be all gone already. So that timing is pretty crucial, and we're going to be seeing it now. I like I said, I've seen two kinds of warblers so far. A few people have reported others, but the big numbers of warblers usually don't show up until about the second half, middle to the second half of May. And, yes, we're looking for them. We're also seeing swallows arriving, feeding on insects, flycatchers that feed on insects. So the insects have not made their big move yet. We think in terms of insects, we think in terms perhaps of black flies and mosquitoes. Both black flies and mosquitoes do make an appearance in May. I usually expect mosquitoes not until about the second half, maybe even later in May. But the black flies can be earlier than that, and I'm sure there are places, though I haven't run into good numbers of them yet, I'm sure there are places that are getting them. Other birds that should be arriving in the next, though, 10 days or so are things like vireos, grosbeak, orioles, hummingbirds, wrens. All of these make their appearance in May, and we usually notice them when they come back. Other things happening, this is when many mammals have their babies. I have not seen the chipmunk in our yards. There's been several chipmunks that live in our yards, and I have not seen them lately because that's probably what's going on. Frogs have quieted down in these cooler days, but the wood frog is pretty much all done with its calling already. Chorus frogs, spring peepers, and leopard frogs are still calling, and soon we'll be hearing the gray tree frogs and American toad. That will happen before we get too far further into May. Last week, I mentioned be on the lookout for a small blue butterfly. It's called the spring azure. The wings, the top part of the wings are blue. The underside wings are white. It's a gorgeous little butterfly, only about an inch long. Well, the next day, I saw the first one. Spring azure is the first butterfly that comes out of its chrysalis in the spring. Now, there are other butterflies that hibernate, but that's the first one that comes out with a chrysalis. The other insect I said to be on the lookout for was green darner, and sure enough, yesterday, I saw green darner. Green darners are interesting. They are the first dragonflies of the season almost every year, and yet they're migratory. They go to some of the southern states, and they are able to come back early. Then finally, I have to pass this on, one of the beautiful things that happens on the forest floor, besides seeing all these spring wildflowers, is the fiddleheads. And if you get out and take a look on the trail in almost any woods in our immediate area, you will see little curly things sticking up from the forest floor. Those are the new leaves. It's not a new fern, it's a new leaf that sticks up from the underground stem of the fern. The underground stem of the fern that stayed alive all winter is called a rhizome, And now in spring, new leaves called fronds will grow up from that, and they unroll as they grow up. And for that reason, they are referred to as fiddleheads. And we have several varieties of them. The one that I've been noticing the most is a type of fern called interrupted fern, but there's also lady fern, ostrich fern, and bracken that are all now growing their fiddleheads. I recommend, you know, for those who are concerned about getting the mosquitoes and so forth, like I say, that's a little bit later. It's not happening too much now. I recommend getting out and taking a walk. And even if the temperatures are chilly, walking is still fine, and if we get some sunlight, you'll still see plenty of these wildflowers out there. Also, they'll soon be starting to be joined by blossoms in trees. This week, I saw a wild plum that had blossoms opening, and soon they'll be joined by cherries and juneberries and elderberries, all with white blossoms from the trees. So, yes, we are moving on in May. The missing ingredient that we've had so far is rain. We have not had any rain yet at all in May, and that's going to perhaps make a difference as we get down further along. We are once again in a concern of a fire hazard. The Weather Service has been putting out maps every day showing the conditions of fire hazard, and yes, we've been on that. And speaking of Weather Service, the Weather Service has come out with a new, what we call, normal temperatures. The normal temperatures that we hear when someone says, oh, it's above normal or such, what they're referring to is an average temperature that is based on the temperatures of a 30-year period. That 30-year period was from 1980 to 2010. Well, that has changed this week. The 30-year period is now 1990 to 2020, and so these normal temperatures are a little bit more accurate. They are probably, to almost no one's surprise, they have all risen in the last few years. The statistic that I thought was interesting is that the amount of snow that has been recorded has also risen. So yes, it is interesting. It is never static. Things are always happening in nature. There's a new story out there every day, and I suggest to get out and take a look at it. So take care. Enjoy.
Thank you, Larry. Have a good week. Larry Weber, an educator, author, and naturalist, back at Almanac every week at 8:20 here on 103.3 KUMD.